is the music.
Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone out there in paranormal land, welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm your host, Pat Rice. Jason Ophir, my co-host, is around tonight. He's very busy. We have on site, this is so exciting, I've never done this before, we're actually doing a live investigation here at the famed Edgefield Hotel in Troutville, Oregon. And the whole team is here tonight, Northwest Paranormal, and we're doing a live investigation. Now, for those of you out there that don't know about the Edgefield Hotel, I'm here to tell you it's haunted. Now, I haven't had any experience yet, but there's so much history. We've got a cast of characters here this evening, and some of them maybe from the other side might visit us tonight. We don't know. But anyway, so much to talk about. And Jason, do you want to say hi?
Hi, I'm really here. I'm just kind of chilling.
Yeah. So let me just tell you again what's going on, everybody, if you're just tuning in. Again, welcome to Paranormal Horizons here on blogtalkradio.com. And don't forget that you can listen to this show later by going to the on-demand episodes at Blog Talk Radio. With me this evening, as part of the Northwest Paranormal Investigation Team, of course, is Jason Ophir, co-founder, also Aaron Collins. He's going to be here on the line pretty soon. I shouldn't say on the line, he's in the room, actually. He's a co-founder of Northwest Paranormal, lead investigator, and he's been doing this for over 10 years. Also, we have Adam Olson. He's behind the scenes. He's an investigator. We've got Steve Shroba, documentarian. Did I say that right? Camera dude. He's over there, like, you know, pointing cameras around. And we have Elise. She's a very talented psychic. She's going to be on the line with us. And actually, before I get started with introducing Aaron, Elise, we've been here this afternoon kind of hanging out here at the Edgefield, and what are you feeling kind of here in the building and in the room?
Well, I got to tell you that we were enjoying a luncheon today when we first got here, and Aaron looked over at me and kind of looked at me funny, and he said, "Do you feel something next to you?" And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do feel something quite heavy on my shoulder." And he says, "It looks as if your face has changed a little bit to kind of a male on one side." And I said, "Well, is that a good look or a bad look?" And he said, "Well, you know, I don't know." But he said it was a little bit interesting to see that. And it was actually in, I think, what did we discover that was the black The Black Rabbit?
The Black Rabbit, yes. Yeah, we were in, that's a kind of a bar restaurant.
And it's been said that there's a dark spirit that hangs out there that's not so good.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of that, Elise, thank you for those comments. And I wanted to give everybody out there, if you live in Oregon and you have never been to this McMenamins location, they have a lot of great locations where they've taken old buildings throughout Oregon and made them into these really cool, fun spots. But this place is quite unique, I must say. The background on it is in 1911, they called it the Poor Farm. And what that was, is it was a place for folks that were homeless. They didn't have anywhere to live, whatever. They were able to come here, live, and work. They worked here and they raised vegetables and possibly some farm animals, and it fed everybody here, and then also they sold the vegetables and they were quite successful. Now the farm has some other history behind it as well. It was at one point in time after 1911, I think a place that housed some troubled children. We're going to get more from one of the employees who's with us tonight. But it has kind of a spooky side, you know, as much great stuff that happened here, because I also got a good feeling, Elise, when I came in. I think that this place helped a lot of people. But there was also, you know, some deaths and other things that we don't know about. And there's been reports, like you said, of the kind of dark energy down in the Black Rabbit Bar. Now, one thing you got to get the picture of, everybody out there, is this is a large building that they've turned into a hotel, restaurant, couple of bars. There's another building that's a bed and breakfast. There's been some recordings of things happening there. There's a building that was the office, and I believe it housed the administrator of the farm at the time. There's been some reports of things happening there. And then this is also, they have beautiful grounds here. I mean, when you drive into this place, you can just get the picture of this used to be farming country, you know, and so much going on here. And as you drive in, they've done a wonderful job of keeping the feeling and the old buildings, but, you know, turning it into this cool place. But let's face it, there's a lot of old, you know, energy, not old energy, but energy of things that have happened in the past.
Well, and you know that a lot of things that you have to focus on, too, is when they had it as a nursing facility, they utilized it. A lot of the residents would go over, you know, that were impending the mm-hmm. end of their lives, would go into a certain isolation section. So they did have many isolation spots on the property that didn't necessarily pertain to it being the whole property. Therefore, there'll be a lot of very rejoicing spots you can feel, and then there are some that you start to feel a little bit different about.
Right.
There's a lot more activity going on than there normally would be.
Right. All right. Thank you, Elise, for that. And I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Aaron Collins, co-founder of Northwest Paranormal. And he's going to give us an idea of a little more that's going to be going on. And I know you've got some comments, and we have a special guest in the house. Well, I should say in the room. We are in the room here in the main hotel that is supposedly haunted. Correct, Aaron?
That is correct. Pat, Jason, just wanted to tell you thank you so much for asking us to do this with you, and really looking forward to it. This is something unique. It's something different. I am the co-founder, along with Jason, for Northwest Paranormal, and we've done various paranormal investigations throughout the state of Oregon. And so this is exciting. We're doing the live radio with you, and we're also, for those who are not here with us at the moment, we are also filming, and then after the show tonight, then we are going to do a full-blown paranormal investigation, and I am the lucky guinea pig, and I get to spend the night in this haunted room by myself.
Wow.
Yes. Luckily, there will be four cameras that will be on me all night and in this room. So hopefully there's more noises tonight than just my snoring. So I'm hoping to hear something else. So,
well, Aaron, tell them what is supposedly been felt in this room
yeah.
before.
One of the things, I had a good friend of mine and her mother come and stay in this room at one point, and one of the things that happened with them, the table that we're actually sitting at with our special guest, who I will announce here in just a moment, started shaking. They had some glasses on the table, and glass fell and shattered. The other thing is we have a dresser. It looks like an old antique dresser that's just at the foot of this queen-size bed, and it also shook and moved itself away from the wall. The other thing that happened in this room is my friend woke up during the night, who was sleeping in the bed with her mother, and felt her mom tickling her feet. So she looked over and said, "Mom, what are you doing?" Her mom was sound asleep. There was nobody else in the room. So we shall see. One of the other claims is a ghost dog, and you're said to feel the wet, cold nose of the ghost dog. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll all find out later after the results of the investigation is revealed.
And one thing, Aaron, too, I also read that there's been reports of a woman looking through the window out, you know, outside in, you know, all in white.
I mentioned I'm spending the night here by myself, right? And now you're trying to scare me out of here. So, but that's what we're here for, right? Come on.
But you make me beautiful.
Well, there you go. Then I'll leave the drapes open. And so I am so stoked. I'm so excited because we have a special guest who is on staff here at McMinniman's Edgefield, and he is part of the hospitality staff, and he's been gracious enough to bless us with his presence and tell us some stories, firsthand stories, and also stories that he's heard, as well as a little bit of history and background, in addition to what you've already given all of us. So let me introduce to you Colburn. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem.
We appreciate it. And you know what? Rather than let me continue talking, why don't I have you start off by just kind of telling us a little bit about what you do here, and then get into maybe a little bit of the history of McMinniman's Edgefield.
All right. Well, I am Colburn. I work here at McMinniman's Edgefield. Like the host said before, it was built in 1911. I've been here for about 3 years now, worked in many different departments, from catering to maintenance to front desk to housekeeping to serving and venues and the concerts that we host here during the summer times as well. Within that time, I've had plenty of ghost stories from guests, even my fellow coworkers, and stories of my own.
Why can we jump right into, so you've been here for 3 years, and can you tell us an experience that happened to you?
There was a time that a couple did come to me, and they, it was actually just a gentleman and his wife that were staying in the room. And I remember the man just came down and asked me if I could go clean off some fingerprints off of his mirror on the back of the door. And he said that him and his wife were the only ones in the room, and all they did was leave, come back, and there they were. And he didn't give me any other description. So,
was it this room?
It wasn't this room, actually.
Okay.
It was not
okay.
This room. I ended up going up to the room, and I looked at the back of the door, and it was super odd and strange because there were little baby fingerprints at the bottom of the glass, and they were, like, slid down. Oh. And I got a little freaked out and just wiped it away real quick.
Yeah, let me get out of here.
My friend, his name was Kayola. He is a former worker here. He doesn't work here anymore. He was in a room at one point, and he just made the bed. It was nice. It was straight, no wrinkles. We call it snakes in the bed if there's wrinkles.
That's appropriate.
And so he left the room to get some other things that he needed for it. He came back, and there were two butt marks on the left and right side of the bed.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Were they attached to a body by any chance?
No, he didn't see anything.
So when this happened, did he, like, he explained this to you,
yes.
And he said, "Hey, you know, I just made that bed, and I cannot believe that now there's two butt marks."
Absolutely.
Wow. Was he kind of freaked out?
He was actually really freaked out. He's a very superstitious person.
Okay.
He has the good stories, actually. The administrator house that you talked about, it is the White House over there on the west side of the property, and the very top floor is called Althea, and there's said to be like a little kid that likes to run up and down the room, I guess, above there when people are working.
Now, that was the administrator's daughter, right, that passed away
yeah.
on the property?
Yes, it was the administrator's daughter. And my friend and a few other coworkers of mine have heard the footsteps over, and they just don't like working in the house at all.
Really?
They, like, specifically request our management not to work in the house.
Now, is that the building that's the bed and breakfast now?
No, actually, the entire place, I guess, is kind of like a bed and breakfast if you think about it, just because the Black Rabbit, first one that's open in the morning at 7 o'clock.
That one is still an administrative office. Oh, it's so
actually
long.
People can actually know that entire house gets rented out for a wedding.
Okay.
And
that's got to be a fun wedding.
We go in there all the time to clean it. I clean it. I haven't seen anything in there. My experience was the window, and then another weird one that was kind of like 4 months ago. I was walking across the third floor going into the east side of the building. We have fire doors here that are constantly open all the time on the west and east side of the building. And I walked by underneath the light, and I'm not superstitious at all, so it was kind of odd. An orb just went up the side of the door. I looked at it as like a reflection. So I turned around and did a double take, and it just didn't happen again. So.
Wow. Now, have you had any guests that just up and left during the night because of paranormal activity in the room?
No, actually, I haven't. Mostly guests asleep because there's no TVs in the room.
All right. And so give us maybe you can add a little bit of history to Edgefield.
So like she was saying, it did start out as a poor farm. People that were down and out on their luck came here to try and figure out how to be self-sufficient and sustain a life on their own and then go back out there and figure it out. Unfortunately, a lot of people that came here just got stuck here. They worked for a very little wage. They made their wages off of whatever this place made from selling the goods to market. And so it ended up turning into kind of like a nursing home slowly. So we have a wine wing here that's actually probably the spookiest part of the building. And
that's where I'm taking Aaron after all this.
So the wine wing turned into a nursing home. People are under the impression that it turned into kind of like a crazy place, but people just turned senile, and that's really what it was. And it ended up just being the place to die here. So there's countless of unnamed deaths and numbers that they're just unaware of.
Wow. Now, which room is it that is said to have the comforter, the blanket on top, levitating? Have you heard that story? I actually read that in your ghost log, which, yes, Edgefield has a ghost log. Behind the counter where you go to check in. They don't advertise it until now.
You can't take it from the counter.
But you are more than welcome, from what I understand, to thumb through the ghost log and actually read different guest encounters with paranormal activity here in the
hospital. Really?
When did they start that?
To be honest, I have no idea, but it's been going on for years. We had a ghost log previously that was taken. It just disappeared.
Ah.
We had to come up and make a new one. There are all stories from people that have stayed here or people that are just visiting. It's also kind of sectioned out a few sides between kids and adults. So.
Wow. And to your knowledge, do you know, have there been any recorded deaths here since the McMenamin brothers took over Edgefield?
Yes, actually, there was one last year. A guy was coming down the Black Rabbit ramp, and he had a seizure, and he hit his head. And I guess the paramedics that came on the scene actually, like, revived him, and then he died.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Wow. There was that one. I can't remember any other one, but there was one, like, before I came on, some guy got super wasted here, I guess, and he ended up climbing out on the third floor balcony areas and on top of the roof and just slipped. And,
oh, my goodness.
Kind of bad judgment.
Yeah.
Is that over by the Black Rabbit restaurant?
No, that's actually out in the front.
Hmm. Now,
so drink responsibly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's always a good message, but kind of going along this line, Aaron, of, you know, stories, past stories, I had also read about a past employee, and she had seen a lady that kind of looked like a nurse. Have you heard that one?
I absolutely have. There's a lady that I work with here. Her name is Luella Morris. I don't know if she'll mind me saying her name, but she's cool. She ends up having conversations with the nurse lady she's told me about. You'll find her down in the wine wing.
Wine wing?
Yes, the wine wing.
Well, I want to go there.
It's right above the wine room. In our ghost log, there is a picture of the lady, actually. I don't know if you saw it. If you just look for it a little bit more, it's the only captured picture of a ghost here at McMahon.
And where can we find that picture?
In the ghost log.
In the ghost log. I have not seen that yet.
I will be looking to get maybe a couple pictures if they allow.
Yeah, definitely.
Take pictures there. Yeah. boy, this place just has a ton of history. Now, I was also, right before we started, Elise, Jay, who joined us at the last moment, your fiancé, I understand.
Yeah.
He was talking about, and you did too, Aaron, that you guys used to come here as teenagers when it was just a, it was
after the nursing facility.
Yeah,
that
we got
kind of
shut
back
down.
In, I think, what, 1983, 84, Aaron?
Probably
84.
When it was shut down?
Yeah.
I think it was 82.
Well, it was shut down in 82, but
yeah.
When did you become curious?
Oh, gosh, not until probably 87, 88, somewhere around.
So there was quite a bit of time involved where people could come in and just check out the place. A lot of cult activity, a lot of things. As a matter of fact, this room, supposedly they say that there was a lot of writings on the walls and a lot of cult. A lot of negative. They talked about how the Edgefield brothers actually came in and where they do bagpipes and...
This room that we're in is room number 215. It is called Amazing Grace for a certain particular reason. And it's because it was a song that the McMenamins brother ended up playing. A group of bagpipers came in here to play Amazing Grace for the room to help cleanse it, so to speak.
Oh, my.
When they did open up the property in about 1993 and they came in here and they tried to excavate, they came into this room in particular and there was a satanic drawing with candles and dead animals on the floor. And so they thought that that wasn't okay to bring a good energy into and people to start staying there. So they tried to cleanse the room. Unfortunately,
good for them.
It was a good thing. Unfortunately, the next day it was back.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
There's no explanation for
pretty
it.
Pretty strong
really.
Energy.
Unfortunately, the story kind of stops right there. Everything else is kind of hearsay by the people that stay in the room.
Wow.
Well, and mind you, I'm spending the night in here. And
once again,
there were death things that were left behind.
Well,
for
you just can read them all in here.
Amazing Grace, exactly.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Cool. I mean, this place, if you think about it, you guys, I mean, this was built in 1911. Imagine the history. Imagine the people. Imagine the energy that has been come in and out of this place and some of the energy that remains.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to find, and we'll be talking to you, Elise, about this, but about residual energy and about the, I don't even know what you call it, when the present energy, present.
Presence.
Okay, there we go. I'm curious to find out, you know, what you pick up and what you picked up and what we encountered down at the Black Rabbit and things like that. So,
holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, as a matter of fact, we went back down there for just a little, you know, mid-evening snack. And I had Aaron sit in my spot. I refused to sit back in that spot. And I made him sit in that spot. And we actually had some equipment with us, and it was clearly showing something right in that spot, and we would move the equipment down to the end of the table, and it's in one of the long, like a long banquet table in the Black Rabbit Bar, and there was nothing. And then we moved it closer to him, and he could definitely, you know, as a matter of fact, his vocabulary started changing a little bit, and I said, are you getting a little pitched up on your words? And he said, yeah, a little bit, and I recalled when I was sitting there, and it wasn't because of the beer that I had, but it was because they do have delicious beer here. I'm just going to tell you that. It really is a beautiful place.
Terminator beer.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful facility. And so, you know, having that said, it was just, he could tell also that there was a definite change in that one particular spot that he was sitting in, and having the incident for me earlier in the day, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, and mind you, I was not drinking beer this evening at all. I was drinking coffee like I am now. And, it was a weird sensation sitting in that spot. Mm-hmm. But have you had a lot of claims of paranormal activity in that area, in that bar at the Black Rabbit?
It's odd that you asked. I had a lady, an older lady, that was talking to me about when she used to come here and visit back when there was a nursing home, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
She was a little baby girl at the time, and the nurses said that her mom was going crazy. And it was back when, if you go into the Black Rabbit, it looks real nice and elegant now, but it used to be just open and spacious and actually a concrete floor.
Wow.
And it was back when they would host, like, buffets for all the poor people and stuff. So that's where they held that at. And she was, her mom would always talk about seeing like an angry man or a very sinister looking person just in the corner or hovering over her daughter's shoulder or just around and present all the time when they're over there in the Black Rabbit. So it was very interesting that she brought that up.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely hovering. Very dark, very heavy spirit was definitely hovering. I feel that. You know, and Mary, one of the bartenders down there, told a story about just more than a week ago, she had been in the bar and she felt as if somebody tugged her hair. And she turned to her side and saw something very dark and thought it was a patron and was going to say, you know, where are you sitting, you know, and there was nothing there.
Yeah, there's a... And now there's noises in here.
I'm just sending the dog.
And I'm spending the night. Well, I've been hearing noises all day, ever since we've been here. So.
You have been a little jumpy.
Well,
and I just wanted to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in, I'm Pat Rice here on Paranormal Horizons, where we broadcast live every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest this evening, Erin Collins. We're doing a live investigation here at the beautiful McMenamins Edgefield. Elise is with us. She's a beautiful, talented psychic. Jason Ophir is in the background and the rest of the team. And we're going to be on until at least 8 o'clock, who knows, maybe a little longer. And our guest this evening, Colbrin Lodell, he's a hospitality captain here at the hotel. Worked here for 3 years, and we're just really having a great conversation, so let's keep that going. And we will be taking a break here in a little bit, Jason, kind of probably when you give us the go, and we're just kind of chatting about stories and the experiences, and I can only imagine, you guys, I wonder how many people really lived here with the, you know, the residence when it was called the Poor Farm and the nursing home and all of that, and how many people really passed away,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine it was in the thousands.
That would be,
yeah.
It would have to be, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, Colbrin. Given the amount of stories that you've heard and the things that maybe you've experienced in some of your coworkers, would you spend a night in this room by yourself?
No, not this one. No.
unfortunately, I just
wouldn't. I'm not a superstitious person, but I steer clear of anything that's weird.
Yeah. Well, then that is smart for you to do.
Yeah, I can't say the same for you.
I knew I liked it. And if you could pick one story, one thing that is just the most terrifying that you know about, you may not have experienced it yourself or maybe your coworkers or whoever, but what is the most terrifying experience that you've heard of here at Edgefield?
Okay, so there's a lady. In fact, she's working tonight at about 10 o'clock. Her name is Susan.
Susan will be talking to you later on camera.
Yes, her name is Susan. She works the night audit, the front desk. So you will see her all night. She's the only person up there. She has the craziest story. There was a golf club found on the golf course after hours, so obviously security walks around, picks it up, brings it down for lost and found. She sat in the corner behind her, and like I said, she's the only one on until about like 6 a.m. in the morning. She was turning around doing some paperwork, and she said the golf club just dropped on the floor. She might have set it up wrong, she thought, so she decided to lay it down and put it down securely. It dropped about mid-height from the floor again, and she ended up running out of the front office screaming, and she hit a security guard, and she was asking if anybody was messing with her or if they heard anything, and no one heard anything, and no one had been in there, and she can't explain it to this day. She ended up just getting rid of the golf club.
Yeah. That's probably best.
Wow.
You know, I have an experience that I haven't told any of you about. I was driving a taxi years ago down Gresham, Troutdale area, and it was late one night. I was dropping a customer off up the street from the Edgefield. I was coming back. It was December, and it was just starting to snow. And it's freezing cold outside.
Kind of like tonight.
Kind of like tonight. And I mean, let's do the snow dance because I'd really like to see that. But I was driving by, and I noticed a couple to my left at the end of the East Drive that leads into Edgefield.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had to do a double take because as I'm driving, I see them, but I notice they're wearing like 70s-style tennis outfits, okay? So she's wearing a white tennis skirt. They have the headbands, the wristbands. I drive by and think, what are they doing? And I turn around, and then I looked in my rearview mirror and side mirror, and they were gone.
Wow.
So the next day, I told my sister, she called the front desk and asked if anyone else had seen anything like this in the past, or they know of any people that dies on the side of the road or something. I can't explain it, but it definitely kind of shook me up a little bit. So I made the rest of the evening driving very fun.
Well, you know, it's interesting when something like that happens, Aaron, and I, you know, we may have all had something like that in our lives where you do that double take, and then it's not there, but it was so vivid.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, I know I saw that. And how can we explain that? I don't know. I know all of us have kind of been into this paranormal stuff for a while. You know, why are there ghosts? Why are the spirits here? Why are they not leaving? You know, all these questions. And I don't know if we want to explore that a little bit. You know, maybe at least what's your
definitely
take?
Well,
kind of
you know,
that.
I really don't think that we have to have an explanation. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of we see what we see and we know what we know and we believe what we believe. And, you know, that's it. And there's going to be people out there that are going to be like, are you kidding? That, you know, that couldn't have happened to you. But more times than not, it proves to be the story is told the same way by others, even when they didn't know it.
Yeah.
So there ends up being a mystery solved when you find out the rest of the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in fact, Aaron probably saw something that could be explained. And a lot of these scenarios that are happening here do have explanation. There were people here that were, you know, dying.
Right.
There were people here that were in despair. There were people here with illnesses. So, you know, there are valid reasons why they would still be here, why they still remain, you know, them not knowing that they're supposed to cross over or them feeling like it's such, you know, it is, the grounds are beautiful. The way that they have, you know, you look at the pictures that are on the wall of what the pork farm used to look like, and it is absolutely amazing what the Edfield brothers have done to make this place so warm and welcoming, and the food is delicious. And
it is amazing.
The beverages are delicious, and the artwork is something to be desired.
Yeah.
So, you know, even to come out here for just to visit. You know,
just to eat, just to see,
you know, and, you know, you might have an encounter and you might not, but you might also feel the energy. And there's a lot of good energy here, too.
I agree. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break here on Paranormal Horizons. And again, Colburn, thank you so much for being with us here this evening. And we're going to have another half an hour or so after a break. And don't forget that if you're just tuning into this show, you can always listen to the full show by going to the on-demand episodes, which are available, a day or so after the show. Now, are we going to have musical breaks available, Jason?
Yeah,
or
Evan Becker's Zombie Comedy. It's a minute 50.
All right, everybody, stay
Thank
tuned.
You.
Don't go away.
Thank you so much.
This is author Edwin F. Becker. My success with 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST has been such that I have a whole new enterprise. It is for those that are thinking, man, I can't wait for that zombie apocalypse. Well, I have the answer for you. Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. You'll be the center of attention wherever you go. What a surprise those Jehovah's Witnesses will get when they knock on your door. Are you the black sheep of the family? Just think of the terror you can bring to that next family gathering. I'll bet you never knew Battle Uncle Ned could jump tables and run so fast. Or take your zombie to the next high school reunion. You can turn him loose on those nerdy brainiacs that made fun of you and say goodbye to their high IQs. Laid off from your executive job? Take your special friend to the boardroom to help you say farewell to your boss.
You'll
add a new meaning to the term budget cuts. Neighbors giving you problems making noise? Introduce them to your new pal and stand back, because all will be quiet very soon. You'll be waiting for that next a-hole to look at you and say, bite me. Because anyone who gives you the finger really does give you the finger.
Excuse me, kind sir.
Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. Order now and get the free book, Sewing on Limbs Can Be Creative. Not responsible for infectious disease, death, mayhem, severed limbs, cannibalism, paranoia, loss of sanity, nor that god-awful stench. And one more thing. There will be no returns.
All right, and we are back. I'm Pat Rice here on Paranormal Horizons. Elisa's here on the show this evening, and Aaron Collins. Now, Aaron, I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about, because this is new for me, I've never done a real investigation. So what happens during that process?
Generally, what we do is we take people's accounts of activity, things like that, what happened in the residence or business or whatever location. And then we decide from their stories, the things that they've seen, heard, felt, whatever, we'll set up various types of equipment. We have cameras that we can set up that are night vision. And so we can have the lights all off, but yet still be able to see, which hopefully would capture some sort of movement or things like that.
Sure. You know,
we have an EMF detector, electromagnetic field detector, which also takes temperatures of the room as well. So, So if there's, they say the theory is if there's something paranormal in the room, it will register on the EMF detector. Generally, when it spikes up, that tells us that there's high EMS. Now, there's also a lot of electricity coming from clock radios, light switches, things like that, which also give off high amounts of
electricity.
You know. So, and then we also have K2 meter, which basically it does the same thing. There's a series of lights, and the higher the spike, the more lights light up all the way up to red. And then we have a digital recorder, which we'll use to hopefully capture EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, and which disembodied spirit voices is what we hope to capture at times. Now, we go into a location, and with all the tools that we have, we also have our bodies, which Elise can touch on here in just a minute.
Okay.
But we use our bodies to kind of feel what's going on around us,
right?
What we feel. And then we just start doing our investigation. Sometimes it may consist of leaving a room, leaving the equipment running, and then coming back later to see what was captured. And there are things that we've captured in the past.
Really?
Yeah, we did an investigation on St. Helens, and for some reason I just felt we need to set up a camera and set up audio in this one particular room and leave. And we did for about half an hour.
Okay.
Came back, reviewed the audio, and there was banging. Now, no one was in the house. This was late at night. No one was banging outside, but it was like someone stomping up and down the stairs and hammering and all kinds of crazy stuff, noises.
Interesting.
Which to this day we couldn't explain.
Yeah.
And then we also use a psychic. And Elise, who is new to our team, we have used other psychics in the past. And what we do is we don't tell them anything about the location. This time, however, it's a little different. Elise knew beforehand where we were going, and she knew some of the stories and things like that. But she's also picking things up, which she can talk about herself. But we generally don't tell a psychic what we're doing and where we're going and what stories there are, what's happening. And then they tell us. They're one of the tools that we also use.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something, in my opinion, that helps our client. Maybe a little more than catching EVPs or something on video, things like that, because then they can say, well, this energy is from a person who was such and such, and this is what happened to them. They're at peace, not at peace, whatever. Help explain things that we just can't, nor can we through the scientific instruments that we have. So.
Mm-hmm.
So let's generally have it go on and do an investigation.
Yeah. Now, I think, like you said, using all those, you know, you've got the techie tools, but then the important part of it, too, at least for me, because I'm kind of more of a
you know, feeling kind of sensitive person is, you know, at least having that psychic or just, and even if you take the word psychic out of it, it's feeling, because we're all feeling, you know, beings, and probably you both have had this happen, you know, where a client has come to you and said, you know, I just feel, I can't explain it, but I feel that there's something, you know, going on or whatever it is they say, and I think you really have to validate that. Elise, what are your comments on that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, validating anyone for any, you know, nothing goes unrecognized and everything has a story to tell. And the truth is that, you know, and I said this on the last show, was that we all have intuitiveness, whether we call it psychic, whether we call it, you know, a third eye. But however, we all have an intuitiveness within ourselves that lets us know that something is not right.
Right.
We might get a pit in our stomach. We might feel heavy. We might feel a cool breeze go through on our face, or, you know, we might sense that there's something watching us or looking at us, you know, eyes are on us. You know, all these things are very real. Having the explanations for them, we don't always have.
Right.
You know, and you can hope to offer that, especially in doing an investigation. You know, there, my reasoning for looking into some of the history here was to, because it is such a big ground, was knowing some of the prime locations we wanted to go in and actually validating some of these stories. I can absolutely validate that I do believe in the Black Rabbit Bar. There is a dark entity that is not necessarily feels that terrific.
Right on. Now, just to interrupt, Elise, I want to thank everybody in the chat room this evening. And Jason, I think you're fielding the chat room. Do we have a question?
We do have a question in chat, and I know the answer to it, but I think it's a good question. This one's for Aaron. Somebody in chat would like to know, are you using any trigger objects for the investigation, you know, like flashlight, clicking on and off, anything like that?
You know, that's a good question. No. I didn't bring anything with me for a trigger object, so I'm hoping just me being here raw will capture something, so we'll see. Yeah, thank you for your question.
Yeah, so I guess I'm not familiar with that. So what do? You kind of, okay, using the flashlight example, it's sort of...
What you do is you take the flashlight and you turn it to where it's not on, but it doesn't take much force to actually screw the end to turn it on.
Okay.
Obviously, it takes a lot of force, even by, you know, a live person, to push a button on a flashlight. So we do have some flashlights that you can twist on. So you just make it to where it's really easy for the entity to actually manipulate themselves. So we can actually ask questions. If you're in the room, please let us know by turning on the flashlight. A lot of times that flashlight will turn on.
It'll
go right back off. So that's what they meant by that.
Okay.
And the K2 meter as well, which we had mentioned earlier, it's got a series of five lights, and green being the lowest amount, and then red being the highest. And so oftentimes we can have the K2 meter sitting on a table and we feel an entity is in the room. Then we can ask certain questions. And, you know, if you're a male, let us know by lighting up all the lights. And I've witnessed this myself and done this myself, where all the lights would light up. And it's such a tremendous feeling to know that you're actually contacting and actually having a conversation with something or someone you can't see, you know.
And then, and then your next reply is, holy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Well, it'll be interesting to have a follow-up with you on Paranormal Horizons to see, you know, what happened to you all night. We'll have to do that on another show for sure.
Definitely.
Now, Aaron, I know that you said you have been here to the Edgefield before, obviously when it was, you know, empty and before it became McMinimum's. You came here as a kid. And Elise, now, had you been here before also?
No,
yes,
Jay,
and
Jay?
Jay?
Jay,
yeah, another...
These are some hoodlums that live close by.
Okay.
They live close by. They were apparently curious boys, and I think Steven's got some stories to tell too as well.
Definitely.
That there was a lot of
Yeah, Stephen, you'd been here before too.
Well, I'll tell you what Stephen told me. He went through a downstairs part, I think, where the pool tables were, and he had looked over to one part underneath and saw some luggage that was down there. Is that correct? And so I think he'd come back and it was gone. It was all gone. And so we'd always wondered what had happened to that luggage. But definitely he said there was a lot of broken windows, a lot of broken glass, definitely very run down, nothing like what they have built now.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, a run-down building, you know, when you're a teenager and you're kind of sneaking around, it might feel kind of scary. But I think, you know, Jay, you're in the room, Steve and Aaron, it sounds like you all, though, kind of had, you know, maybe some creepy feelings or just some feelings about, you know, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but maybe that, you know, it was kind of creepy and spooky.
It's dangerous, you know, a haunted house kind of feeling, you know, going into something that you knew something, you know, you knew the story.
Yeah, now when you guys came here as kids, was that the rumor, like it was haunted?
I didn't hear any stories.
Okay.
Prior to me coming here. And in fact, the one and only time I did come in here, it didn't last very long. It's like watching Scooby-Doo and the gang walk up to a spot and there's a ghost and then take off and run. That was me. I went to the window. I was standing in this room and all I could hear, I'm in just complete darkness because it was dark when I broke in.
Yeah.
I mean, entered the building. And all I heard was, that was enough. My hair.
Yeah.
I took off running and that was that. That was my last
sweat hair.
Well, that's what happened to it.
You know, do you remember which part of the building it was that you would actually came in and
into? Yeah, actually I do. If you're facing the front of the building, it was the east side, east bottom lower corner window. And I'm not sure what exactly that goes to at this point. But, yeah, it was terrifying. Now, maybe the other guys in the room maybe have some other stories. And maybe they heard rumors prior to coming here. I was along for the ride, and that was that. So.
Yeah. So when you guys came, was it like, oh, it's haunted, I'm going to go check it out, or was that what it was, Stephen?
Big scary looking.
Yeah. This place is huge. You don't really...
It's absolutely humongous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't...
But the one thing that Steve's not saying, which I'm sure you don't mind me telling, Steve being a little shy today, but that's okay. He went into this one room that you mentioned downstairs, and there was luggage. But he opened one of the suitcases, and we're talking probably a suitcase from the 40s, 50s era, I'm guessing, from your description. And there were some personal items that were in that suitcase, like some pictures, like some black and white pictures that were in there among some other personal items. So you can imagine, I mean, being a poor farmer at one time, nursing home, things like that over the years, whose was that?
So you mean
why
to tell me,
you
know, like if you take the bucket, they just said, hey, take, you know, take Mrs. Jones's luggage down to the cellar there and just stack it up.
There's a room for, you know, the morgue, and then there's room for your luggage, apparently.
That was one of the things you had mentioned, too, is that there were tables. There were steel tables in one of the rooms. Mm. So there definitely are a lot of, you know, I did ask, our guest that from here, we asked him what the names on the rooms meant, he told us that some of them were people that had stayed here, and some of them were actually celebrities who had played here.
Yeah.
So a lot of the celebrity names are on the third floor, but some of the names for the rooms came from some of the guests who had actually been here. And then the other thing that he had told me was, and it suddenly has just slipped out of my mind.
Because you and I were talking to him together, and I found that interesting too. The guests in the room, and then I loved his story though about this room being called Amazing Grace, because I was like, why would that room be called Amazing Grace when every other room has a name of a person?
Right.
Well, and think Amazing Grace meant that it was a woman.
Really,
actually, when I did walk into this room, I did get
There is a chair in this room, and I went to go put my bag onto the chair and said, "Oh," and I put it onto the floor because it felt the presence of someone sitting there.
Ah.
Female. Okay. But the picture on the door is actually the man,
mm-hmm.
of an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
yeah.
someone who is old.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, but the artwork around here is just absolutely amazing.
It is. And like you were saying before, even if you're local or if you're not local and you're listening and you come to this area, you really should come here and, you know, just check it out. The food is great. The ambiance is great, as the McMinniman brothers have done with all of their venues throughout Oregon. Mm-hmm. And they have some wonderful pictures of some of the residents of the way it used to be, some of the black and white photos that they've blown up. And I've noticed they've done that. There's a beautiful McMinniman's in Bend, Oregon, and it was an old Catholic school. And
they also have the Kennedy School there in
yes.
Portland.
Oh, do
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stories behind that. Now, we did
yeah.
ask if there were any places that were off-limits for
oh,
us to go
why.
To.
Yeah.
And he said, you can go anywhere I can go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I imagine...
Go to the closet because cleaning the closet.
Yeah, but, you know, you never know what happens in the closet.
That's true. That's
mm-hmm.
true. It might be a teddy ghost.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And I will say here moments ago, I kept looking to my right and touching my knee. The reason why, for those of you who don't know, I wasn't trying to play handsies or footsies with Jason. I felt something tapping me on my knee.
Okay.
And so I was reaching down to, you know. And it's mm-hmm. funny, it's ironic, which I'm just putting together now, the
mm-hmm.
alleged ghost dog.
You're nudging.
Perfect
nudging.
Height for a dog to be nudging my knee or something.
I think it's called the black dog.
The black dog. Okay.
Okay.
I might be wrong.
Black rabbit, black dog.
Let's Google.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll Google that.
Yeah,
but,
we should. You know, I'd be interested to find out also, Pat, if anybody who's in the chat room that's listening now, if they've stayed here at the Edgefield, and did they experience any paranormal activity in any rooms? And I'm especially interested in hearing from anybody who has stayed in this room, and if anything, or not,
yeah.
May or may not have happened.
Well, you know, Aaron, we're going to play it like this. Then you're going to be a psychic for a night. And
okay.
You know what?
What's that?
We're not going to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, you can report to us what happened.
No, then I'm going to be scared.
You can report back in the morning what you found out.
All right, if I'm still here, make it through the night. No.
Well, you know, Aaron, I mean, what is, you know, doing this investigation tonight, what are you guys hoping to accomplish? Like you know, what draws you to doing this?
Well, I think for any paranormal investigator, it's the curiosity. You want to feed your curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I want to see something. I want to hear something. I want to feel something. Maybe not if I'm in the room at night by myself so much, you know. And that's my reason. You know, I'm curious. And,
yeah.
Of course, they didn't contact us and ask us to do this. We contacted them and asked us, can we come and do this?
Right.
And so, which, you know, I have to say, along the lines of the hospitality here, this place is amazing. I can't say enough good things about Edgefield and their staff,
mm-hmm.
From management all the way through all the hospitality. And so everybody here has just been amazing and
yeah.
accommodating to all of us. So I appreciate
agree.
That. Thank
yeah.
you. And so, yeah, I hope to accomplish catching something and
yeah.
something paranormal. And the cool thing about that is the investigative part is let's investigate that. Let's look at it as a skeptic. Adam, who's one of our investigators, probably the most skeptic. I don't know. You are too.
Jason
right?
is too.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm a little more leaning on the paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys definitely lean on the skepticism and
mm-hmm.
go into it, which all investigators should go into it. It's not paranormal. So we're going to look at it from a scientific point of view.
Right.
And then if it's something that we can't explain, then
you're
going to
look at me.
Not normal.
There
we go. Elise.
And I go,
what's
that's
going
normal.
On? See, exactly.
Well, yeah, we've kind of gotten Elise and Aaron kind of how you had some feelings and some experiences. Now, Jason, have you felt anything this evening or, you know, while you've been hanging out here at the Edgefield?
I do kind of have an ability to sense things. I think I've been right in the past. You know, when we did the White Eagle down there in Portland, I walked in and it felt like walking into a wall. I did not want to spend time in that room. When I walked in this room, 215, I didn't feel anything. I'm not really getting a lot of vibes. But that doesn't mean that that can't change.
Right.
Because it can change on a dime. But no, I'm not really,
okay.
really feeling anything.
Well, yeah. Adam, what about you?
Nothing like the White Eagle or some other places.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we did hear a knocking, Adam and I did.
It's windy today, too. I mean,
yeah.
We've been hearing wind and some things like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it also could be, too, a lot is that, you know, I think spirit knows. I think spirit has more fun when it's less is, you know, when you're actually looking for it. I think, like Aaron has said, you know, they would leave the room for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, roll back the cameras and be like, wow. You know, we've got a lot of cameras in here. We've got a lot of people in
mm-hmm.
here in this room. So it'd be quite normal not to really see anything
right.
interesting unless we were sitting around doing a seance,
mm-hmm.
which
right.
we won't
mm-hmm.
be doing.
Yeah.
I did want to add one more thing. I'm not psychic or anything, but this is kind of directed towards Elise. Is when I was kind of walking up and down the hallway looking at all the weird paintings and the room numbers and stuff. And when I stood outside of 215 and looked at the door, like I said, when I was inside the room, I didn't feel anything. Looking outside at the door, I didn't feel anything. But then when I walked next door to 214, I started to get a vibe, and I was wondering, did you pick up anything on that? Something's going on in 214, which made me think that maybe the activity is really in 214 coming into 215, but that could be just being crazy. I don't know.
No, is 214 right next to us? You know, I'll tell you where I was actually feeling it was when I sat on the bench and looked at the one that's across the way.
Mm.
So, you know, as a matter of fact, I took the readers, and it's a really old, you know, I don't know how long it's been here, but it's been here for a long time, and it's a piece of furniture. And I said, I said the meter, you know, and I had the guys come out and double-check to make sure I was using the equipment right. And I set it on one end of the armrest, and there was nothing. And then I set it on the other armrest, and it went off like crazy. I set it on, like, as if where somebody would actually sit down in that spot and kind of rest, and it went off again.
Mm-hmm.
Set it off to the other side, and there was nothing. So we checked the walls. We checked to make sure there wasn't any kind of electric interference, but there is something within the talk that makes you kind of stop. Almost.
I did notice the one across the way, but 214.
With a ballerina dress or whatever?
I did feel that, but it wasn't as strong as 214.
We'll have to walk.
You know, I've only walked past 214 just to go to the bathroom, so I had things out there on my mind.
Yeah, I will have to check what the name is on that door, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
We're gonna send someone out to investigate.
And maybe the name across the hall, too, Jay.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I think if I remember right, I'm going just by my memory, I did read a lot of the ghost log a couple of years ago, probably prior to it being stolen, obviously. So I think I've read the old one, but there's a lot of accounts from 214 as well as 215. So I'm wondering, did it bounce?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's on the same floor. So it's, you know, if it's not happy being in here, it'll move to being there. What's the name on that door?
Over there,
Eric Becker.
The one across the hallway with the
red dress. Well, it's Molly. It's Molly something. It's the one with the ballerina dress.
So,
Mary O'Connor.
Ah.
Okay, so I'm thinking those are probably somebody who's been...
They lived here
at
one time.
Yeah, because they said that most celebrity ones are upstairs.
Mm.
So most of the ones on the second floor are from...
It'd be interesting to find a little more history about those people, but...
You know, I like
yeah.
what you were saying. You know, there were so many thousands of people here. I mean, honestly, you know, we talked about that with looking into some sort of log to see, you know, some people's situations and find out a little more history. But, you know, you start going through... Where do you even begin?
I know. Yeah. Now, just to touch again, Aaron, on that ghost log that we talked about earlier, Colbrin, the hospitality gentleman, spoke about that, and then you've actually looked through those here. So anybody can see these ghost logs?
Yes. They don't advertise it, and they don't have it sitting out in the open, so it's something you'll have to ask the front desk staff to look at. And they don't mind you looking at it as long as you stay in that area and not leave that area with it.
Okay.
And the reason, well, many reasons, but these are different guests' accounts of paranormal activity over their stay.
Right.
So it could have been a honeymoon, or it could have been
sure.
a birthday, anniversary, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, again, you just have to ask the staff, and they'll be more than happy to let you.
Okay.
And it's interesting. I mean, it's like going back in time in a way.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, it's kind of neat to read the different accounts for
it is.
One, even just one room, the different things that people have picked up. And then I saw some that said nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's not at all.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, any other comments in the chat room that we need to share before we sign off this evening?
Well, it's kind of a question. Has anybody been in the basement? I don't know what you're talking about with Steve, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's in the basement? What's that like?
We were just down there a few minutes just prior to the show.
Yeah, we went through the basement door. As a matter of fact, they took the readers down there.
Mm-hmm. But what's down there?
There is a pool table.
Another bar.
Oh, that's
and
a
it's
pool.
A real nice. Oh, I tell you, there's so many facets to this place. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've got a cigar little hub you can go into. You've got
There's a spa.
There's a wine tasting area. I know if you do decide to come on down, be sure to check the times.
Yeah,
because I don't know that they might be on winter hours, but during the summertime, and of course they got concerts out here. But we went down to the basement, and we've heard reports that there's a gentleman down there that hangs out towards the men's room.
Inside
now,
the men's room.
Yes.
And
we had you go in there.
Yeah.
And I do notice that the bathrooms around here are a little bit spooky.
I thought that too. In this one,
Look around and I do kind of see if I'm feeling something. You know, for me, a lot it'll be a tightness in my chest, a change in temperature,
mm-hmm.
A heavier presence around me, and that's how kind of I know that something's
mm-hmm.
lingering around.
Yeah.
And then it's about trying to determine whether it has more of a female or a male presence
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, very interesting.
You know, and I was also wondering, while I was in that restroom down there, if some of the things that are, the urinal, things like that, if some of that is original to this building.
Yeah.
Because some of it is so, I guess, old-fashioned or antique-looking.
I know.
I don't know if it's a replica or if it's something that is from, you know, before.
Yeah, because it's interesting that they have kept that flavor, because I was wondering the same thing, because on the second floor we're on, you typically in a public hotel don't have a public restroom on the same floor.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody's normally using their own, but
right.
they've kept that so because you have to then go out
right.
of your little room to use the bathroom just like
some
you want.
Rooms, not all
oh,
rooms.
Okay.
But it also provides a shower for the guests as well, and so...
Yeah.
In fact, yesterday we were filming different things regarding the hotel,
mm-hmm.
and we went into one of the men's laboratories that has a clawfoot bathtub.
Wow.
So I couldn't help but take a picture.
Yeah.
And wonder, you know, did this come with the building? Is it something they salvaged from the building?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the way the McMinniman brothers have worked is that they're very do a lot of antiquing and bringing
mm-hmm.
a lot of things in. You know, you have to wonder how much stuff made it through the time period of which it was closed and
right.
how much destruction. You know, you think urinals would be the first thing that young kids would want to
break with a sledgehammer or something.
But, you know, I'll have to tell you is that having it be a nursing facility, it would make sense as it is up here. You've got many individual rooms and you've got one central shower area,
mm-hmm.
and that would be very common to a nursing home
yes.
facility, that you would have individual bathrooms, and so
right.
it's very possible that some of the showers are still the actual showers that were
mm-hmm.
here originally.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't mind if I back up just a little bit.
No, not at all.
How long we have left?
We've got a few more
okay.
minutes. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe you can tell the listeners and us
getting a little bad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's where timing is good.
Okay. So just real quick, how do you yourself when going into a location like this? You know a little bit of the history going in. You see the massive size of this building. I can only imagine people are trying to talk to you before you get here or even in the parking lot or whatever. What do you do to prepare yourself so that you're just not beat up spiritually and things like that?
I get drunk. No, I'm just kidding. Just throwing it out there. No,
Terminator beer.
I actually don't do anything. You know, I just come in, I just try to relax. I try to kind of shrug it off. And
you just open yourself up?
I just open myself up to be receiving and, you know, just open my eyes a little bit more, start looking around a little bit more. Normally I kind of go in with a little more straight focus, but here I've been really looking up at the windows, I've been looking at some of the more detailed work, I've been a little bit more observant. It's like we talked about, I was looking at the rocking chairs that were out on the porch to kind of see if they were moving, you know, so being a little bit more observant. But I think just as our
What was your observation? What did you tell me about that?
That there was nothing.
That they weren't moving. It was windy.
No, it was windy. Yeah, that was weird. But, you know, I think things will come to us, you know, just as your leg and just as, you know, that if we're actually thinking about that it's happening, but we're not really thinking about that it's happening,
right.
Kind of like you were in your like, hey, let me take just a moment here, you know, I felt something on my leg.
Mm.
Well, you weren't actually thinking about, you know, somebody touching your leg, but it happened to happen, and you put two and two together, and here we are in a kind of spookier environment. So you go, hey, there it is.
Yeah,
right on. Well, I think that Jason probably concludes our episode this evening. And, next week we've got a great guest. Jason, our guest next week is, go ahead.
I received an email a few days ago from a nice lady in Alabama, and she contacted me and wanted to be on the show, so we're going to have her on. Her name is Alta, and her marriage was arranged by extraterrestrials, and she also has a lot of abduction experiences and a whole lot of very interesting things that we can cover on the show. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that.
All right, so that's next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Blog Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizons, with myself, Pat Rice, and my co-host, Jason O'Pear. He's kind of in the background, very busy getting prepared for this evening. Aaron, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And Elise as well. I've got to know you guys. I've heard both of you on the radio before, so it's really been a great evening for me.
You're going to stay and do a little bit of the
Yeah, I'm going to stay for a while. Yeah. Why not?
I have to come back on the show and report back.
Yes. All right. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason O'Fear. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.